It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Sarah full of milk, is that like Holy Mary full of grace? Is it stringy milk, says this email.
Oh, God.
You know, the phrase.
I'm done drinking it now.
The phrases that prompt a lot of responses from the audience, it really is hard to predict what people are going to react to. They're all latching onto the Hail Mary thing. All hail the beautiful Sarah, full of milk. See, if you're Catholic, that's hilarious.
Wow, I'm Catholic.
Isn't that hilarious? What?
What? I'm sorry, I'm full of milk. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Okay. Maybe you should...
I think I drank too much milk.
Okay. You're too full of milk? You're bloated?
A little bloaty.
Are you swollen with milk?
Okay.
Come on, it's funny. All right. It's funny because it sounds like something else. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson, the radio program. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jim Roop will be here from CNN Radio Los Angeles. We got to get that guy up here one of these days. We will do that. What else? Talking off mic now because I'm just looking through a whole pile of stuff. I'm telling you right now that some of this stuff I won't get to today, which will surprise everybody. I'm just letting you know the sorts of things. We get asked sometimes, Rick, what about that pile of stuff? What's in it exactly? What is poetry? The pile of stuff contains things like this. I got this yesterday. This is from Happy Fatties LLC, which is a company, apparently. And it's a comedy company. And the problem with working at a station that, you know, is so heavily dependent upon comedy material, that uses a lot of comedy material, is that every would-be hack, untalented, two-bit comedian sends you like this, like a whole CD of pre-prepared comedy, all of it terrible, all of it uninteresting. And then you have to sit and, like, sift through it. So we've got that in the pile. We've got these emails about the nuclear thing. We've got the Sopranos emails to get through. This hour, though, we will do the top five Rolling Stones introductions of all time. Top five Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time. And somebody just emailed now and was asking if we've heard any of... There's supposedly some news about Keith Richards, but I haven't. Have you heard anything?
Just check the wire, there is nothing new.
There is nothing about Keith. So as far as we know, he's still the walking dead. Keith Richards can't really die because he has, in fact, been dead for many, many, many years already. And he's just sort of walking around in a mummified, zombified, embalmified state. So of all the people on planet Earth that you're going to worry about the health of, Keith Richards is like right at the bottom. I wouldn't really dwell a whole lot on what's going on in that guy's body. It's disturbing. We'll take this call. We'll read these emails. We'll talk about some stuff. Right there, that's kind of the whole thing. Let's see, Sean from the Couve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Sean.
Hey, I was just listening to you talk about Arizona, the great state of Arizona. I'm actually born and raised there. I want to shine a little light on what's going on there.
This is that guy, what's his name, Joe something or other?
Joe Arpaio, yeah. He's actually a real cook, but some of the stuff he's done there is pretty incredible. You know, like he made at this place called Tent City.
Right. Yeah, with the prison.
Yeah, that's him.
It's like he's the guy who brought back chain gangs and, yeah.
Yeah, he did all that stuff. Bread and water. It's great. I love it. You know, actually make it be like a prison instead of a resort. But anyway.
I don't want to turn this into some sort of an issues-oriented program and whatever, but you know what's interesting though is people use that, well, a prison ought to not be like a country club. What prison do you know that's like a country club? What prison? Do you know anybody that's going, I can't wait to go to prison? If prison was like, people always say that prison's just like a country club these days. If that was true, you'd be out there robbing a bank right now. You'd be like, I can't wait to go. I'm going to go shoot someone in the head.
Yeah, I've heard stories about people getting arrested to get to jail because their life outside of jail is so much worse. But
I guess most of your life is a guy setting your crotch on fire and, you know, beating you in the face or something. But I mean, you know. Well, anyway, what else you got?
Well, anyway, Arizona, there's a place where they actually found that one, that tunnel, that Great Escape style tunnel underneath the big chain link fence. Anyway, there's a huge population of them there. The reason they aren't finding them isn't because of the posse. The problem is the posse isn't what you think it is. The posse is actually made up mostly of retired people from Sun City.
So let me understand this. So the posse, that is trying to track down illegal immigrants, and illegal immigrants, whatever anybody else wants to say, are motivated, and probably a fleet of foot in most circumstances. And so they're being hunted by my grandparents, basically.
Basically, because the sheriff's posse is nothing more than people who give money to the sheriff's department every year, and they get a little sticker on their car that says sheriff's posse.
Right.
What they've done now is they've gone to these guys and said, look, we're gonna give you the power to arrest illegal aliens. And most of these guys, are spending most of
his
time in the hospital.
Well, it's some guy who just, he's got a bag he has to wear on his hip for medical reasons, and he spends most of his days at the VFW talking about the time he had two whores at once in Paris during World War II.
The fact that they even arrested anybody is actually a miracle.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sean. Appreciate you spreading the word about the show.
Oh, you better believe it. My wife can't stand hearing about you because she hears about you every day.
That's fantastic. That's how we know we're doing a good job.
You bet.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks.
All right. There you go. My grandparents were always big on that prison. It's just that. And they would always do it using the worst phrase that drives me up the freaking wall, which is that three hots in a cot. Which every time somebody says that, it's like taking little tiny 10-penny nails and pounding them into my fingers. This is the worst phrase on earth. I'm going to read this email about the Sopranos. Then we'll play the Scotty J production.
Well, hold on. The old one or the new one?
Well, the old one, then the new one. Now, for the love of God. Here it is. All right, I got this. And I only mention this because there was some discussion earlier this week about whether The Sopranos last week was a big waste of time, and it's coming up again this weekend. We will do that recap on Monday with Peter Carlin. My point was that the show was a whole lot of nothing happening this last week. Kurt says, how could you and Sarah call this a nothing happens episode, Sopranos? When Tony and Christopher heisted the wine, Christopher capped the biker, Christopher tells Tony about Adriana. This was a great bonding episode between the two as they've been drifting apart the last season or two. Polly getting the prostate biopsy call, the carnival ride mishap, Janice being Janice, Polly cutting corners with the carnival workers, Bobby confronting Polly about the accident, Polly's confrontation with... It just seemed like a whole lot of loose change.
A lot going on, but no real substance.
It was like this program, in other words.
Yep.
It was a lot of tiny little things happening, nothing that matters in the grand scheme of things, nothing important, nothing that really has any heft or dramatic weight to it. The whole Bobby versus Polly thing is building. Tony telling Polly he has to make things good in reserves at the carnival issue. Watch it again. It was a great episode. But here's the thing. I will say, to repeat the cliche most often used, that the bad episode of The Sopranos is still better than a good episode of almost anything else. But this episode last Sunday just seemed like a bunch of loose change to me. It seemed like David Chase didn't have any ideas, didn't have a clear concept of what he wanted to do, and so literally he was just sort of reaching around in the bottom of his brain, seeing what got caught in the drain, and just sort of stitching it all together into one long installment. That's kind of what it seemed. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot actually happening. So I might be wrong about that. That's my perception. It reminds me of the time there was that dream episode a couple years back where Tony just spent the entire episode like in a dream, like he was flashing back to like his high school football coach or something, and it just seemed pointless.
Are you looking for something?
I'm looking. I've got the nuclear story right here. I was looking for the nuclear story here. Yes, I was looking for something. You didn't have any faith in my ability to find the thing I was looking for, did you?
No, I was just wondering what you were looking for.
No, I was looking for this story right here. This is the thing we've been talking about, Northwest Landmark set to be imploded.
Depresses me. I hate hearing about that.
The reason, we've been talking about this for several days, and I know that a lot of people don't know what we're talking about here. It's from Rainier, Oregon, and it's the Trojan Nuclear Plant, which is that big thing. It looks like,
it's distracting. The first time I saw it, I almost crashed my car because I was staring at it on I-5.
You know what it looks
it's
like?
Cool.
It looks like that thing that Richard Dreyfuss keeps building in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It looks like Devil's Tower. And so everybody has been emailing me and asking if there's some place where you can watch it from. And I don't know the answer to that. And this is from Coin News 6, where they bring something to someone. News. They bring the news home, is what they do. For over three decades, the Trojan nuclear plant has been part of the landscape north of St. Helens. But in 12 days, it's coming down. That's now 10 days. The cooling tower that sits across Columbia River from Kalama, Washington, was Oregon's only nuclear plant. BGE operated it for 17 years before closing it in 1983. It'll be employed 7 a.m.
On a Sunday.
Sunday. Well, it is a Sunday. May 21st. They met at the port of Kalama Tuesday to lay plans for the implosion. And so we, all these people asking if there's any place that you can watch it from. Scotty J is noting now that we should be there to record this. Now, I don't... Is there, because it is visible, but it's visible from the road, but is there a place, like, is there a place where you could sit and watch it as it implodes?
Well, if you go up Highway 30, that's how I got to it last time.
Right. Is there a place where you can pull off?
Yeah,
we should totally do that.
There's a park next to it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're going to clear it out. You see, this is, like, if you, because when you implode something, because it all falls inward, obviously, but they collapse it inward, but it is all that dust, and it is, you know, a nuclear facility.
Right.
So I do wonder if they're going to keep people from observing it. I wonder if they're going to, keep visitors back or something. So we're going to try to find out.
Maybe they'll only allow the locals since they've already been there anyway.
They're already radioactive. They've already been irradiated in the manner of so many mini-moos. Scotty J is typing to me saying there is a place for viewers. The reactor will remain there, though that is the myth. So they're only getting rid of the cooling tower. But that's the big...
Oh, so it won't be cooled off anymore.
But that's the big... Yeah, the nuclear waste. There's nothing to cool it with. So that's the big sort of weird... Devil's Tower looking thing is a cooling tower. Well, that's the thing everybody notices anyway, because the reactor is actually smaller and more dome-like.
Right.
All right, so if somebody knows about this, if somebody, or we can, I guess if we absolutely have to, we can do the work ourselves and find out if there's a place to watch it from. Because I've got a lot, this is like when they blew up the Kingdome in Seattle. Everybody wants to go there and see the thing blown up. Let's get Sam. Sam, you're on the Rick Emerson. See, you know what this is? This is not only relatable, this is local.
Mm-hmm.
And compelling. Hi, Sam, how are you?
I'm fine, you?
What's up?
Well, I just wanted to respond to what you just were wondering about. I saw a little piece, I think, on Coin 6 last night.
Coin 6, where they in fact brought the news home to you.
They did, indeed. And anyway, they were saying that there will be no people allowed to watch the implosion. And that's a fact, Jack.
So so even at that part, so they're going to go there, where they're going to clear, they're going to clear it out, or they're going to,
Well, they're just going to bear it. You know, they're going to, I misspoke, bar it.
Bear it. They're going to bar, so they're going to be, so the man will be there, stopping us from watching.
Correct.
All right.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. That's, Sam. Hi, you have, George?
Yeah, Rick.
So what do you got here?
In today's Oregonian, I think it was today, possibly yesterday's, they're giving all sorts of exclusion zones on I-5. You're not going to get within, like, 5 miles of that place.
So they're going to keep us over there, so that there will probably be nobody able to watch this.
The man wants to deprive you yet again.
That's a bunch of crap.
You know, I think we should be able to sign a waiver and, you know.
Seriously, I'm already, I already got a thyroid the size of a grapefruit.
Right.
What
you
do I care?
Get something for that thyroid.
Doesn't matter. I mean, maybe if I get enough radiation, it'll actually reverse the effects of the cancer I'm already getting.
Exactly. Hey, you know that protester that you play, the Chinese one?
Oh, wait, hold on. Where's the,
No, please.
I've got the... Voices of angels.
Yes, that, you know what she's saying?
I don't know. Is it something?
Please do not harvest the organs of my countrymen while they are still alive on the operating table against their will.
She's not saying that.
Yes, she is. That's what you're getting your little comedy out of. Is,
please do
this
not.
This is George. I know that he probably knows what he's talking
please
about.
Please do not harvest the organs of my people while
they're still alive.
But is this some? Hold on. But is this some weird Asian mistranslation?
No,
like how Coca-Cola means bite the wax tadpole.
No. This, you know, the Falun Gong and other political prisoners. And, you know, they used to, you know, they execute people in China in, like, stadiums.
Please do not harvest the organs of my people while they are still alive on the operating table.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to play this twice as much now. It's hilarious now.
No, it is not.
All right. Yeah, we're going to play that constantly.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
I've seen far into the future, and when you're an old geezer in your hovercraft, I found out how you're going to meet the Heavenly Father.
Okay.
You're going to hit a post.
Thank you. There you go. Thank you. No.
Well, it looks like you're going to have to camp out overnight because patrols in Washington will stop traffic on I-5 in both directions between milepost 28 and 34 before Calama, traveling north until 2 miles before the Longview-Kelso exit. And rolling slowdowns will begin at 6:45, so the traffic can be brought to a complete stop by 7 a.m.
Well, that's going to screw everybody who's just trying to drive by.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can't drive by. Exclusion zones of at the Trojan site just south of Rainier along the Columbia River will be closed you're going to have to camp out from 5 p.m. next Friday till 7 a.m. May 22nd.
You're kidding me.
No, and beginning May 20th, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, the company hired to carry out the implosion, will enforce the exclusion zone encompassing a half mile surrounding the tower. Only personnel authorized by controlled demolition will be allowed access. There are no homes or businesses in the designated exclusion zone.
This is part of the God-given inalienable right of living in this country, is that when they blow up something really big, you get to watch it.
Thousands of sticks and dynamite are being attached to this 499-foot cooling tower.
Oh, see, now you're just dangling into fruit in front of me that I can never taste.
You can't even fly over the space over the cooling tower. 3,000 feet above sea level, for one nautical mile radius, will be closed from 6 to 8 a.m. May 21st.
That sounds like they think something bad's going to happen.
Why must ye tempt me with fruit that I cannot taste the succulence of? All right, well, let's... Joe, hi, what's up?
Was that a recording of my mother-in-law?
I don't know, let's... you're talking about the... Why didn't you marry a doctor instead? Husband talked like idiot on radio. Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, it sure sounds like her. Anyway, I don't know if people are doing, but if they were, what they would be doing is the locals up there aren't going to do this, but if they were, what they would do is they would go up the night before and get drunk and party all night long and then watch the thing be imploded the next
morning. That's a good idea.
Because that's what you want to do when you're in the proximity of something that's being exploded. You want to be drunk and hungover and maybe sleeping through it all.
But I can't remember which mountain they're not going to, but there is a hillside up there that if you were going to do it, which I don't suggest you do, that they would be up on drinking and partying and having a good time and watching that thing be imploded.
Not that anybody should do that, of course.
No, not at all. Right. That would be wrong and maybe even possibly illegal.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that, sir. All right, there you go. That's Joe there. All right, we'll do one more and then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Rick, how's it going?
Hey, is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Mike, how are you, sir? What can I help you with?
I hate to burst your bubble, but they took the reactor core out of Trojan and shipped it up to Hanford and blew shrink wrap up the river.
Why does that not surprise me?
Your neighborhood glow in the dark.
Everything that's nuclear, everything that'll kill you, everything that'll give your children heads and you and give you weird green scaly skin gets sent to my hometown eventually. It all goes there.
Exactly.
All right, thank you. That's Mike. It's break here. We'll come back with Jim Roop plus Tim Riley at the City Desk. We'll have TV tonight. Let's see what else. We'll have Scotty J's production coming up. And we will have later on Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio .com is going to be here. And at this moment, we are sending this one out to John and Janine, two very different people in very different states who are looking down the barrel of some medical unpleasantness. Don't worry, my friends. You got knocked down. You will get up again. The Rick Emerson Show comes back after this. AM 970, Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we got Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio is going to be here. We'll go back to the City Desk with Tim Riley in just a few. We've got production from Scotty J. Top five Rolling Stones guitar intros. Get to that. Some other stuff from the news pile and so forth. And apparently, now, my question though is, we're talking about this, the nuclear, the cooling tower climate that's being blown up. The Trojan thing. And so they're closing off the mountain, they're closing off the roads, they're closing off the park, but you can see it from the river though, can't you? Isn't there like a river view? Like if you were on the,
because well, yeah,
it's
that's
on
I-5.
The. No, but I'm saying like in the actual river, because you could, like if you were actually on the Columbia, because it borders, it's right by the Columbia River. And so if you were actually had the access to a boat, you could actually, because that's what they did with the Space Needle, or not the Space Needle, the Kingdom. The Kingdom, they watched it, everybody's watched it from Puget Sound. Everybody's went out and they floated out on Puget Sound and watched it there. So if you were out on a boat in the Columbia River, you could totally watch it. All we need to do is find somebody with a boat, and then demand that person cater to our every need and whim. Let's welcome out of the...
It says here, a five-mile stretch of river along the cooling tower. Between river miles 70 and 75 will be declared a safety zone and closed to boat traffic 6 to 8 p.m. Boats moored at a permanent dock are exempt. So we have to bribe somebody with a permanent boat.
I mean, wait.
Come on!
Sorry, there's...
Come on!
There you go. That's... Here's the thing about this come on is I just don't know where we're going to use it.
Come on!
It's so fantastic. I have no idea what we're going to do with it, though.
Come on!
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent from Los Angeles, Jim Roop. How are you, Jim Roop?
I'm well. Happy Friday to you, sir.
Thank you. How is life in the City of Angels?
It's beautiful.
Is it really?
It's
really not that beautiful, is it?
Terrible.
No, that's what I thought.
It sucks.
Hey, this was just handed to me, by the way, by Intrepid News Director Extraordinaire Tim Riley. The California Senate has approved legislation that would allow textbooks in state schools to include information regarding homosexuality. The bill's by Senator Sheila Kuhl. She's from The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis.
She was Zelda.
And
yes,
just as butch as you could possibly imagine.
And still is.
Really? Is it true? I mean, I haven't seen her in many years, obviously, but...
Oh, and Life with Father, that's out on DVD, an early 50s sitcom.
Was she in that, too?
Yep.
Where's Dwayne Hickman these days?
He was an executive for CBS for years at TV City, but I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis. That's a great show. Boy, we've just started to sound really old on this program.
We're like over 50.
Yeah, no, I used to watch it on CBN right between I Married Joan and Burns and Allen and Groucho. Well, anyway. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm well, sir.
I'm sorry. We were just doing a little trip down TV memory lane.
It's okay
here.
To flog your memory once in a while.
It's okay. Well, you know what? Those shows were all... Those shows have been off the air for 20 years by the time I was even born. But there was this golden time in the 80s when CBN, which I don't even think exists anymore.
The Christian Broadcasting Network?
I guess.
Yeah, that's what it was.
They had the Rifleman on, too.
It was just nothing but classic 50s television. It was just stuff you can't see anymore. It was like stuff like the Jack Benny program. Well, anyway. So, I don't even really know. Let me just find the story. This is... They have you covering any number of things. Among them, I'm reading now this off the CNN prep page given to us by Laura Caviezel at CNN.
That's even better.
Here's what I've got for you. We're going to hit a whole bunch of things today. I'm just going to hit no particular order. I'm reading now from the CNN prep sheet. What are people saying about the report on phone companies providing records to the NSA? CNN's Jim Roop spoke with the people of Los Angeles and found mixed reaction. Is that true, Jim?
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to do that with my best newscaster inflection. Has CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop gone too far? Find out tonight at 11. What is the mixed reaction, Jim?
Well, one out of five that I interviewed yesterday, and this is a very, non-scientific poll. It's just, talking to people at supermarkets, donut shops, and places like that. One in five agree with the idea that the phone companies turning over phone records to the NSA.
Did you feel the urge to punch those people in the face when they said that? Not that you would do that because you're objective and professional.
I'm supposed to be objective.
Okay.
Yeah, the big separating factor in all of this for just about everybody, though, is the secrecy issue. Most people said they would voluntarily give up their phone records if they're asked. May we see your phone records from September 11th, 2001 to October 5th, 2004. Most people say, sure, go ahead, take a look. They just don't like the idea that they're doing it behind their back.
I don't understand what's wrong with people. If somebody asks me for my stuff, my answer is to pound it.
Yeah, I say, well, isn't that why it's mine?
Yeah, just because I like to be uncooperative with the government. Well, what can you do? So...
I just don't like making it easy for anyone.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, here's my thing. Here's why I don't voluntarily like to give up any information to the government, because it occurs to me they probably have it already anyway. You know what I mean? It's like the government already knows probably everything there is to know about me. I don't certainly see why I need to do their work for them.
True.
So, all right. This is the next thing. This is, again, from the CNN radio prep sheet provided by Laura Caviezel. On Mother's Day last year, the Anaheim Angels gave away red tote bags to the women over the age of 18, and now someone has filed a sex and age discrimination suit. Michael Cohen, who was denied a bag, says men and anyone under 18 deserve a bag, too. This year's promotion for the Angels will include both men and women, but still be only for fans over 18. Our Jim Roop has more.
Nothing new here, Rick. Back to you.
Whatever became of...
Well, that's it. I mean, this is a lawyer that filed this lawsuit. Before the statute of limitations expired from last year, he decided... And listen, here's the weird part. The angels tell us that he's the only guy out of the tens of thousands of fans that day that complained.
No, because
he sent a written complaint in. They sent him four tote bags. Here you go.
Here's the thing, and I'll tell you why, and I'm going to use my best journalistic, because he's a dick. That's clearly what this guy's thing is. He's
something new here, Rick, back to you. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
He's just
right.
A guy who likes to make trouble and be. He's a guy who can't find a girlfriend, can't get laid, can't keep a woman. Probably, you know, this is all my estimate. These are my opinions, of course. I don't know, but I'm speculating that that's what this is all about. Because he's clearly one of those guys, in my estimation, who is unable to relate with, bond with, impress, seduce, get with, hook up with, hit with any normal woman. And so he's decided to take it out on everybody. I don't like women getting something for free. I'm a joyless man who is going to ruin things for... You know what this guy is? This is the same kind of guy that files those lawsuits to stop bars from having ladies' nights.
Yeah, same kind of guy.
You know, and we hate that guy because we're all for anything that gets more women out in places where lots of guys are going to be.
Absolutely.
We're all for anything that gets more... Any place there's going to be a lot of guys, you know what? Guys always want more women around. That's just kind of the way we're built. And this guy's just ruining it for everybody because he's joyless.
Do they have free bat day anymore?
I don't know. Don't they have just battery day where they just throw things at people?
Only in San Francisco.
I was going to say with Barry Bonds, he throws syringes at the guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, screw this guy. Screw this guy.
Well, the guy's an idiot. He's a lawyer, first of all. He should know better. And I hope to hell that he has to pay lots of court costs when the judge says, I'm throwing this out. You got to pay the court $10,000 for its time.
He's clearly a joyless man, sucked of all life, bereft of all humanity, and a pox upon his house. Moving on. Here's the final thing. This is not from CNN Radio Booker Laura Caviezel. This is from MSNBC.com.
Oh.
You may have now, I'm going to
spring. Find Amy stories, too.
I'm going to spring things on. Yes, your workload has just increased. Now, I just have been handed this. This is Dateline Los Angeles from the AP. In a scene from his new candid camera program.
I did the story today.
Juiced. Really? It's not on the prep sheet.
Oh. I guess Laura doesn't know everything.
Oh, that Laura. She'll pay. OJ, is this true that OJ Simpson has a reality program?
Well, it's a pay-per-view. It's a one-time shot special on pay-per-view in which he pulls pranks. And in one of them, he's disguised as an old white bingo caller. Another one as an Elvis impersonator.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm not making it up. Another one, he's a vagabond orange salesman. And then in the one that has the Goldman family all ticked off, is that at a used car lot, tries or pretends to sell that white Bronco that he was riding in during that slow-speed chase back in 94.
Jesus, God.
God, what a tasteless man.
I saw some of the piece of it because Gloria Allred's all up in arms about it and everybody. And he says to the guy, it just was good for me. It helped me get away.
It helped me get away.
Those are his words. And Fred Goldman, he says, I find that comment morally reprehensible. And Gloria Allred says, any proceeds that are made. Now, the company that's putting this thing on says OJ's not going to be paid for his appearance. Uh-huh. He's doing it just for fun.
Uh-huh.
But Gloria Allred says, anything that's made from that video should go to the $33 million judgment against Simpson to the Goldman and Brown family. We'll have to see how that goes.
Here's the thing about the OJ case, now that we're just delving years into the past. But, I mean, this is pulled
from... We went to Dobie Gillis. Why not OJ?
But Fred Goldman makes OJ seem very pleasant.
That's what I was going to say.
Comparing the two.
The thing about the OJ case is, Tim is exactly right. The OJ case is interesting in that it's a case in which I despise absolutely everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, Marcia Clark, despise her. Gloria Allred, there's no limit to how much I despise that woman. OJ, clearly scum. Fred Goldman, I'm sorry for his loss. That having been said, he's an ass of a man, I think. And he just seems like he was a terrible guy before all this happened, and he's just a more obnoxious guy now. I mean, Fred Goldman clearly, it's a horrible thing that happened to his family, but Fred Goldman is just the most unsympathetic, off-putting person. So it's just an interesting case in which there is really no one to root for ever in this.
Well, I think that's why it still floats out there in the ether. I mean, nothing's ever going to get done about that thing because no one really cares to get it done. You know,
no.
It's how much you can do. You can't try OJ for murder again. You know, the civil case proved he's liable anyway. For the death of Nicole and for Ron Goldman, but you know, what else can you do? I mean, you know.
I can't.
He's the Fatty Arbuckle of his time.
That's what makes this show different. We pull out the Fatty Arbuckle reference.
Well, we're going way deep.
I cannot. No pun intended. Wait, hold on. Where's my, hold on. That was a little, There you go. I cannot believe that O.J. referred to the Bronco and said, it was good for me. It helped me get away.
Yeah. He's trying to sell it to on a used car lot to some guy.
You know, Tom Cruise's old PR person didn't do anything now. Maybe I should go work for O.J. Just tell him not to say anything ever again. All right. Well, when is this airing? Do you know?
It's later this month.
Okay.
It is this month. It's on pay-per-view.
Oh.
I have to watch for it.
You know, I wonder how much it is. It's almost tempting to get it just to watch it. All right. Well, we'll be talking more about
this. Remember, if you buy, Fred Goldman may see the money.
I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't even know what I'd spend it on. All right. Jim Rope, you have a good weekend, my friend. And
happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Thank you. And we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. There's Jim Rope. Best newsman who is not Tim Riley. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. It helped me get away. And you're right. God. Fred Goldman is a thoroughly detestable human being.
He really is.
He really is just an awful... And again, I know it's all very sad that Ron Goldman is dead, but what was Ron Goldman doing? Just taking
waiting
up space.
On tables.
Taking up space, pretending that he knew how to play tennis, and doing lots of cocaine. That's it. And now he's dead. You know what? No one has... Really, apart from the Goldman family themselves, who Fred Goldman, you get the idea that he was clearly just waiting for his moment in the spotlight, and that it came over the dead body of his useless son. He clearly doesn't care. I'm just saying...
They get some out of Calabasas for the day.
That's...
the fang-gated community in which he resides.
Let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley. Going deep with Fatty Arbuckle. The best statement ever.
Well, the problem is, now that the bar has been raised, I don't know what to lead with.
How do you possibly top that? We really led with our right there.
All right. Well, anyway, here we are from higher top to bottom of the coin on a Friday afternoon in Portland, Oregon, and this is the city.
You're just killing time, aren't you? Bluffing. You're just yeah. Trying to figure out what to talk about.
It really is. Well, I can tell you about this. The 23-year-old with a foot fetish who has admitted that he tried to kiss, fondle, and lick the legs and toes of more than 70 women on a New York subway over the past 3 years. That's not so shocking for New York, really.
Not really. But on the subway?
That isn't that many people for New York. Only 70? I mean, he's got to try a little bit harder.
I can't even imagine someone going on a New York subway with any of their flesh exposed if they could help it. Why would you have your feet... Why would you be down near the ground with your mouth open in a New York City subway system? That seems like an invitation to Ebola.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joseph Weir said his aim was to make them laugh and smile and be open and talk to me.
By licking their toes on a subway.
Certainly.
Okay.
Weir, who was also arrested last week after attacking a woman on a subway in Lower Manhattan, is charged with forcible touching, sex abuse, and unlawful imprisonment. The latter charge referring to his habit of grabbing his victim's legs and not letting go. In a rambling confession, peppered with grammatical errors, Weir, who lives in Brooklyn, detailed how he accosted the women while riding the subways between Manhattan and the borough of Queens. He said, quote, I get on my knees, bow, grab their feet, kiss them. I grab their hand and tell them, you're so beautiful. I am not worthy. Let's see. I do not give my real name. If they ask, I will tell them my name is Anthony, Jason, or Kareem.
Because an Anthony and a Jason looks just like a Kareem.
Weir said his motivation was to get to know the women, which he recalled that often they'd move away when he tried to taste and touch them. Some women kicked and screamed. I've done this to about 70 women, mostly black.
I want to taste and touch you.
Prosecutors say dozens of women had started to come forward to identify Weir, who told detectives in his confession that he lived with his parents.
No.
And two sisters.
Styles hair with a power drill.
And is currently unemployed.
No, he's a real catch, Kareem. Jason,
he did have a job as a sightseeing professional. In his confession, Weir apologized to the victim, saying, I don't mean to hurt nobody, and I'm sorry.
Okay. I wonder if he licks between the toes, or if it's more of an... Well, I wonder.
No, you don't.
I do, and you know this.
We had the gross show yesterday.
Now you know that the foot fetish is interesting to me. I do not have a foot fetish. I have nothing against those who do, provided you were not forcibly licking the toes of women on subways, and attacking them. But foot fetishes are interesting to me because I wonder where they come from. I wonder if that's a thing. I really do wonder. I want to do a, could we get your therapist on to do a whole thing on just stuff that Rick wants to know?
Probably not. She's pretty expensive.
Really? What if I paid her?
I bet if you pay, I don't know.
What if I could take that out of petty cash? I probably got something in the budget for that therapy. I'm curious about the foot fetish because, and I'm not going to go on and on and on about it, but I do wonder if that's a thing, if it is like other orientations where you are born with a foot fetish, is it like a thing that happens to you and then like it affects you later and the foot fetish manifests itself and develops? I really do wonder about it because it's odd because the foot is not, typically speaking, a sexually arousing part of the body for most people. I mean, nice feet, bad feet, ugly feet, but most people don't view the foot as a sex object. And so it does seem like, of all the fetishes, that's the one that is the most fascinating to me because it just seems completely random. So I wonder about that a lot. Well, maybe it's just me. Let's move on.
All right. Well, let's do the Hick Watch.
Here's your Hick Watch, Continental Edition.
Makes me feel so good.
Bum, bum, bum.
Copenhagen.
The way I near him, sir.
Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house.
Hell.
Copenhagen. Makes me feel so good.
This is a fantastic Hick Watch. I think it's a double one, actually.
It is. It's
and
a
they're
double.
They're both right. From Britain.
Yes. First up, a Scottish girl is said to be Britain's youngest mum after getting pregnant at just 11 years old. The girl, who cannot be named for legal reasons, is believed to have become pregnant on a drunken night out in Edinburgh.
Now, here's the thing. You hear this and you say, Rick, this is disturbing, and I find this to be horrifying in every way. How old is she? 11?
11, yes.
11-year-old girl has become pregnant by a 15-year-old boy, by the way. Now, here's the thing. As we go through the story, it may not become apparent until we're a few sentences in why this is a Hick Watch. Mm-hmm. Those reasons will soon. First of all, since when can 11-year-old girls get pregnant? I mean, I realize that for obvious reasons, that's not a thing that gets tested a lot. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't under the impression that you were in the full flower of womanhood at 11 most of the time. Unless you live next to the Trojan plant or something.
No, I guess women are developing earlier these days.
It's a different time. Anyway, so we'll continue. You'll see why this is a Hick Watch.
Let's see. She already left her secondary school near her home in West Lothian when she was a first-year pupil after a series of exclusions for fighting with the other students. She had been smoking since she was 9 and drinking sometimes a vodka cocktail since she was 10 and a half. The girl is due to give birth next month, told how she was drunk when she lost her virginity on a night out 8 months ago. She said, quote, "We didn't use a condom, but I didn't think about getting pregnant. I wasn't bothered at the time. I slept with him because I was drunk and because I wanted to. I don't regret it. I can give up smoking any time, but I don't find it affects my pregnancy. I also don't drink anymore." The girl said she thought she was able to cope with the baby because she had lots of practice looking after her brothers and sisters. "I like feeling the baby kicking, but the first time it moved, I got a massive fright. I did not know what was happening until my mom explained it to me." The girl's 34-year-old mom defends her daughter, saying, "I'm not ashamed of my daughter. In fact, I'm proud of her for keeping her baby." The girl will be the youngest mom in Britain by a month when she gives birth, beating Jenny Teague of Poole Dorset, who was 12 years old, 9 months when she had a daughter back in 1997.
Okay, and by the way, I've got here, she smokes a pack of cigarettes a day.
Good for her.
Despite being 8 months pregnant. She does drink a potent cocktail of Buckfast and vodka. Mm-hmm. Anybody know what Buckfast is?
I don't know. So
Buckfast is wine.
Oh, okay.
It is a 15% alcohol by volume wine. Combined, and this is from Wikipedia, Buckfast wine, its high strength, which is 15% alcohol by volume, combined with its low, low price and sweetness, mean that many quickly find Buckfast to be the ideal means by which to become drunk fast. The girl was drinking this night train wannabe mixed with vodka the night she became pregnant. It is still her preferred drink of choice. And this guy says, "The smoking most likely isn't affecting her pregnancy, just like it didn't affect her mom's pregnancy with her. I'm sure that doesn't account for her borderline retard IQ and the fact that her family lives in council flats, which is England's version of public housing." So there you go. So, kids, they're not just for Georgia anymore. Here's part two.
More than 60% of Brits use items such as screwdrivers, scissors, and earrings to remove food from between their teeth. The National Dental Survey found that when it came to oral hygiene, people used whatever was close at hand to pick their teeth. More than 60% questioned by the British Dental Health Foundation said they used makeshift items, including knives, keys, needles, and forks. They found 23% of people chose to leave food stuck between their teeth, increasing the risk of gum disease and bad breath. According to the foundation that promotes oral health.
I love the idea of using a screwdriver to clean your... Who wants to make the obvious observation?
I
there?
Like the key.
Okay, here's the key is good. But here's the thing about that phrase, using a screwdriver to remove things from between your teeth. If you really had any doubt about what kind of teeth they are working with in Britain, the fact that you can use a screwdriver to go between your teeth indicates what kind of dental situation that country currently has. Secondly, we all know some guy like that. My friend, I won't mention his name. He doesn't live here, but a friend of mine actually has this whole thing where it's not with his teeth. He has this whole thing for scouring inside his ear. And he'll just do it with anything pointy, long, and slender that's left laying around. I swear to God, I have seen him take an X-Acto knife that was left on the table in the production room and just start scratching inside his ear with the pointy end of an X-Acto knife blade. So, I'm just saying, it's a whole lot of... And it's like that story we had a while back about the guy who was flossing, and he flossed right through one of his teeth, right through a nerve. Okay. Are we done with that?
Yes, we are.
That's your Hick Watch, Continental Edition.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Copenhagen, way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. That Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
How about And so we, there are people asking where they can get this, amazingly, where they can get this O.J. Simpson thing. And I don't know. We should have asked where it's going to air. I wonder how much it's almost tempting to get it. It really is. I wonder where, did they say where the money is going to?
No, it does not.
Huh. All right, here's Tim Riley.
On TV tonight, for all you folks who live in urban areas, you're sure to enjoy Don't Be a Menace in South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
That's Wayans Entertainment at its finest.
High Hitler. Adolf Hitler and his drug dependency.
Wait, hold on. That really requires the use of the...
Okay. A true Hollywood story, American Pie Uncovered. And Lindsay Lohan, Just My Luck. It should be... More than like just my payola.
I think I might see that this weekend, so I'll let you know.
I don't even know what that is. Is it a movie?
Yeah, it's for a movie that's coming up today.
All right. Did we have that story about Nick Lachey, who was saying that thing about how we found her to be hideous?
Oh, we must have it one time or another.
All right. Oh, I don't really.
Carrie's on again tonight.
Carrie with Sissy Spacek? And Piper Laurie.
Three stars deserves. That's on AMC, which
creepy
is good
Carrie,
except for the commercials.
Carrie. No, it's a great movie, and it Carrie pioneered that whole shock ending with the hand coming out of the ground. Yeah,
good stuff. Anyway, that's it for TV tonight.
All right, are we? Let's do one more, and then we'll break here.
Well, the cast of Seinfeld will have a surprise reunion on SNL. The New York Daily News reports that actress and this weekend's SNL host Julia Louis-Dreyfus spilled the beans during a Manhattan radio interview this week when asked if she's seen her former Seinfeld co-stars recently. She said she had, quote, because we shot something for my SNL appearance, and added, probably shouldn't have said that. NBC's Seinfeld starred that young lady, and Jerry Seinfeld, Michael Richards, and Jason Alexander.
Now, she's doing some new show, isn't she, now? Isn't
currently
she?
Starring in the CBS comedy, The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Has anybody heard anything about it? I mean, it's good?
I don't watch sitcoms.
No, I mean, I can't. Well, and everything, there is a curse. I mean, everything that nobody from that show has done anything successful. Since it went off the air. And of course, the best thing is when you see the interviews with Jason Alexander, who I love, by the way, Michael Richards, those guys, they clearly hate Jerry Seinfeld. He is obviously the Shatner of that whole group. Do you know all the Star Trek guys hate Shatner, except for Nimoy?
Why?
Because they all, well, I think when, are you asking about Seinfeld or Shatner?
I guess Shatner, since you're basing Seinfeld on Shatner.
Well, they all just hate Shatner because the two things, I think that, he was just a pain to work with. I think he was just obnoxious to work with. But I think it was more Doohan. I think it was James Doohan who just despised him. Like, wouldn't talk to him, wouldn't stand next to him. And I think Nichelle Nichols is the same way. And of course, some of that is like, it's like the Harrison Ford syndrome, where the one guy has the fantastic career after the big project. Because, like, look, post-Star Wars, what did any of those people do, really, to any degree, except for Harrison Ford? It's like he won everybody else's career in a poker game. Same thing with Shatner. Shatner goes on to be, you know, Shatner, and everybody, Nichelle Nichols is doing... There you go, and that's it. Same thing with Seinfeld, because he, remember, they were trying to do all of these programs, and they kept, all of them kept begging Seinfeld to mention him, to come on the show, give a ringing endorsement, give a little quote, pimp in the show, and you see interviews, especially with Michael Richards, you could tell that he just detests Seinfeld for refusing to help him out with any of those things, because they all had a bunch of failed sitcoms since then. I think they've all had at least two. I think everybody except for Seinfeld is on their second sitcom at least since Seinfeld went off the air. So, just not to knock the show, I'm just saying.
No, sitcoms are out anyway.
No, it really is.
But all the guest stars that they had on there have all done surprisingly well.
On Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that show was a huge launching pad. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We've got more on the way.
Come on!
Yeah, including Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio, more of the City Desk, Rolling Stones. Top five. Scotty J is here. We'll do a little Scotty J production. More of your phone calls. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Stay there! It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State. The radio.